I want to add to the sentiment that's already been shared a number of times this morning and say, Happy Father's Day. It's so good to see you dads here, and we just want a blessing to be poured upon you for all the wonderful things you do. And so, Happy Father's Day. You know, we've been talking about the kingdom of God last week and this week, and for a couple more weeks after this, we're going to be talking about that. And I think sometimes we've talked, there's things that get confused with what really the kingdom of God really is. Sometimes we think it's, oh, just when we come to church, or sometimes we think it's something like heaven or something like that, but it's really way beyond that. And those of you who have been here for the first week of this, if you missed last week and you'd like to catch up, you can get a CD, talk to Scott or one of our sound men, and we can try to get you a CD for it. Or within a couple of weeks, hopefully, we'll have it up on the website so you can catch it up there. And so we're trying to stay as close as possible to being as current as possible on the website, but when your webmaster works a full-time job, it's kind of hard to think that we're going to get it all done, you know, lickety-split by Sunday afternoon, and so we'll get it up as quickly as we can. But welcome to week two of this four-week series, and I'm really excited about this series, because the gospel of the kingdom of God is the gospel that Jesus preached, okay? And we saw last week that when we discovered that the gospel of, you know, when we discovered that the gospel of simply going to heaven after we die is only a very small part of this vast life-giving gospel of God's kingdom, it's true that in Jesus we have the forgiveness of sins. And it's true that we have the promise of living with him forever after we die. It's wonderfully true, and that is an awesome thing. But the good news is even better than you know. You see, God is not only concerned with getting us into heaven, he's also concerned with getting heaven into us, here and now. And that's what the gospel of the kingdom is all about. Last week, we focused on two key verses from the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus, first of all, said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, he said, "Let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," when he was teaching his disciples the Lord's Prayer. And the second thing he said was a little further down that chapter, he helps us set our priorities for everyday living straight. He helped us to do that when he said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." So this is God's will for us, to desire and pray that his kingdom would break into our lives every single day, and then remind us that we should align our priorities with the values of his kingdom. This week, we're going to discover how our identity as citizens in God's kingdom, how it relates. You see, the privileges and the responsibilities of being part of this wonderful kingdom. And yes, I did say responsibilities. I did say privileges, because it is a privilege to be a part of his kingdom, but there's a responsibility to be a part of his kingdom as well. So there's a good place to start. You know, every born-again believer, every person who has committed his or her life to Jesus Christ is part of God's kingdom. In a famous gospel passage that I know probably all of you are familiar with, Jesus explains it to Nicodemus when he says in John chapter 3, verse 3, he says, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." Then he repeats it a few verses later, and he says, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit." This passage has many things to teach us, but But let's make sure that we get this straight right away, okay? And the way we're going to get it straight right away is this. No one attains, earns, or works for their place in God's kingdom. We are born into it. And if we are born into God's kingdom, that means that we are his children. Makes sense, right? The Apostle John assures us in 1 John 3:1, he says this, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God." See, this also, I believe, underscores that God's kingdom is no earthly kingdom. His kingdom is not of this world, which means that when we are born into God's kingdom by grace, we must learn a new way to live. You see, God's kingdom doesn't operate in the ways that the worldly kingdoms do. Worldly kingdoms are based on things like political power, military might, wealth, beauty, intelligence, and all of the things that we see valued by the world around us. But understand this, the values of God's kingdom are radically different. They are radically different. These values include things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Does that list sound a little familiar? It probably should. This is known as the fruit of the Spirit listed in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Jesus taught his disciples things like greatness and leadership in his kingdom flow from humility and serving, which are definitely not part of the value system in worldly structures. Think about where we live and where we work and where we go to school. What values do worldly systems reward? Our political system rewards power and persuasion. Our business systems reward competition and wealth. Our society rewards celebrity and beauty. Now, and these things aren't always evil. They are just not the things that God values, and they are not the way he runs his kingdom. And you see, wherever his people live, wherever they work, and wherever they go to school, his kingdom can be found operating with different values than the world's values. You see, like we said last week, it's all about God's will being done God's way among God's people. God's will being done God's way among God's people. See, as we talked about last week, we have confused heaven with the kingdom. Heaven is a great place. I can't wait to go there. I'll go there someday because Jesus paid the price. But in the meantime, heaven is breaking into the here and now. Now, I believe that sometimes we get preoccupied with heaven. You know, when we should be looking for how God is bringing his kingdom to us here on earth. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus taught us to pray in Matthew 6:10. He says, "Let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So Jesus said plainly that God's kingdom should be our highest priority. He said, 6:33, "Seek first the kingdom of God." Do we really think that he meant that we should just place going to heaven after we die as our highest priority while here on earth? I don't think so. Now, there is one note of explanation that is needed here, okay? Matthew's gospel usually prefers the phrase "the kingdom of heaven." You know, you can understand why many people may have, you know, interpreted these words to mean heaven itself. But if you compare the kingdom of heaven passages in Matthew with the kingdom of God passages in Mark and Luke, it becomes clear that they're interchangeable. And the reason for these two phrases is one of demographics. Most Bible scholars will believe that Matthew's gospel was written for primarily a Jewish audience. The Jews of the first century were very careful about using God's name, even the noun referring to God. Instead, they substituted heaven, because everyone in the Hebrew nation understood that heaven was where God ruled on his throne. So Matthew uses the kingdom of heaven, and his use of that is it's probably used as a courtesy to his primary audience. The people of Israel, okay, that's who his primary audience was. So the kingdom of God is the true context of discipleship. No serious student of Jesus ignores the teachings or the demonstrations of the kingdom. Yes, I said demonstrations. Jesus explained his actions in terms of the kingdom of God. You know, healing and deliverance and feeding the masses, they were all signs of the kingdom of God. The world longed for a ruler and to have rule and reign and to have God come to earth. They longed for that. And they received this answer in the actions and teachings of Jesus himself. In his absence, Jesus expects us to demonstrate and explain God's kingdom today. Now, he may be absent physically, but he's not absent from us spiritually. To be about the kingdom is to be about the Father's business. And, you know, and perhaps one reason that the church struggles in the area of spiritual formation is that we are not making disciples of the kingdom. We're not making disciples. In our enthusiasm over God's forgiveness and mercy, we have overlooked his purpose and his plans. We have overlooked them. Everyone who trusts God can expect to go to heaven. Everyone who trusts in God. But Jesus is after more than just an eternal reward. He wants us to join him in the family business. I never expected any of my kids to go into the family business. It's not an easy business. It's challenging, and I never expected. We never pushed our kids toward ministry. We included them in our ministry, but we never pushed them to do it vocationally. And yet, we have all three of our kids who are active, not in full-time ministry right now. AJ is the close. He's been in full-time ministry, and his music ministry is beginning to develop and go, and we're excited about that. But you know, he's leading worship in different churches and singing in different places and writing music. He just had the privilege of going and doing music for a short film that was produced, and so he wrote a song and then he performed the song, and so he's doing that. And Christopher is involved in leading worship at the church where he and Jessica and you know, my two kids in Arkansas go to. And Jessica is in charge of the women's ministry at the church there. See, we never push them toward that, but we're so thankful and so grateful to God that they have chosen to be a part of what I guess we could call it a family business, but it's a way bigger family than just the Beard family, okay? But we're really excited about that. And understanding that receiving God's forgiveness and mercy, as wonderful as they are, they can keep us too often focused on ourselves. When we are focused on God's kingdom, we find ourselves immersed in his priorities. Jesus is the king of an entirely different kingdom, a realm with another language, another way of life, a different culture. See, God wasn't kidding when he said that his ways are not our ways. Listen to the beautiful words of Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You know, I think if we really truly understand God and we understand our nature as opposed to his nature, I don't think it's too far of a stretch for us to understand that his ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts are way beyond our thoughts, you know? And so understanding that and knowing that when we are born again, we're born into a realm that operates differently. Just as newborn babes, we must learn the ways of God's kingdom. We've got to learn it, or else we're just going to stumble and fall. This is one reason so many Christians have difficulty finding traction in their spiritual lives. We have been born into another kingdom, but we are trying to live our lives by the values of the world's kingdom. That's why we have problems. That's why we have trouble getting traction in our spiritual lives. The Apostle Paul took this new birth very seriously. And here's part of his prayer for the newborn Christians in the city of Colossae and in Colossians 1, verses 12 through 14. He wrote this, giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and has brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Now notice two things in this prayer. First of all, notice this. As children of the kingdom, we have an inheritance from God. This includes eternal life, and it includes also so much more. Now, the second thing, notice the difference between the dominion of darkness and the kingdom of light. See, it's a vivid image, but it's more than an image. Imagine how we move and how we walk and into a darkened room. You know, we're afraid of what we, you know, might trip us up. We move cautiously and sometimes almost fearfully. I remember a time when Sue and I were first married. Funny story. I would go and lock up, and we had a pretty large church that was kind of in the shape of a, I had a little pattern, which if you know me very well, you know that I have patterns that I like to follow. And I would kind of go down this way, and I'd kind of hit lights and thermostats and everything, make sure the lights were off and the thermostats were off, you know. And so Sue was following behind me, and I just would do it in total darkness because I knew where everything was. Well, what I didn't realize is that one of our bathroom doors in the hallway down just past the children's part opened into the hallway. And so somebody left it open. So when I'm walking along, I run right straight into the door that's standing open, knocks me right on my behind, and Sue's like, what happened, what happened? She's freaking out like somebody jumped me or something, you know, and in reality, I just ran into a door, and it just, boom, down on the ground. I get up, you know, and I'm like, okay, but it was so weird, and you know, every time after that, I would always kind of flip the light on and look, make sure the door wasn't, I'd turn the light off, and then I'd go marching through. You see, when we go into a darkened room, we move cautiously, almost fearfully, and Now consider how we move in the daylight, you know? We move with freedom. We move with confidence. When the light's on, we're unafraid of running into something, like a door standing open. So which kind of movement describes your life in Christ? Which kind of movement? See, wouldn't it be awful to have a grand inheritance of children of the light and still choose to live as though we were in darkness? Wouldn't that be horrible? Wouldn't that be awful? Here is what we have discovered about God's kingdom. We enter into the kingdom of God by the new birth. It's not something that we can attain by working harder or trying to be good enough. It has nothing to do with it. As I said last week, being born from above is the entryway the beginning of a whole new life in Christ. And since we have entered a new kingdom, there are new things that we have to learn. How foolish it would be to hold on to the values of the kingdom of darkness. God's ways are not our ways. His values are not our values. And see, the task of discipleship is the work of learning a new way to live, turning kingdom values into practical actions. That's what it's got to be. We've got to understand that we go from darkness into light, and since we've gone from darkness into light, we have to learn a new way to live. We have to change our actions. Repentance is turning and walking the other direction from the direction that you were going, from being lost in the world and tied up in the worldly system and everything like that. When we accept Jesus and we come into the kingdom of God, we turn our back on the old way and we walk in the opposite direction of those things that held us down. And if you're continuing to struggle in your walk with Jesus, maybe you haven't completely turned your back on the old ways. And I want you to know something. Oh, how the world will notice the difference. They will notice the difference if only we live and move as children of the King. I've shared this story with you before, but I'll share it with you again for maybe those of you who weren't here to hear me tell my old repetitive stories. I had a bunch of friends in high school who watched me as I was on a very destructive path and going not in a good direction, walking away from God rather than toward God. And I had a reckoning with the Father one time at youth camp, and I was 16 years old, and my life had been pretty horrible for the previous 2 years as far as not anything that had been done to me, but things that I had done myself. I'd lived a horrible life, and I'd done some really, really horrible things. Well, I had a reckoning. I had face-to-face with God, and he said, John, you can follow me now, or this is it. I mean, he gave me, and I knew what that meant. When he said, John, it's now or never, I knew what it meant. I tell you what, I turned and I walked the opposite direction, and I went back to school, and God provided me with a Christian friend, and I had two different people that didn't even know each other came up to me on two separate occasions. One waited a full year. He said, John, I've been watching you for a year. I wanted to see if it was real. And he said, it's real. And that guy today is still walking with Jesus. Not because of anything I did, but because I chose to live a life and somebody was watching. I had another friend come up to me one time. He said, man, John, I knew if God could save you, he could save anybody. And that man is walking with Jesus today. You know, you never know the impact that you're going to have on someone's life just by following Jesus. Sometimes you don't have to even say anything. But you live a life. Your standards are different. Your countenance is different. You know, there's a glow about you. I had a friend from high school that worked at Safeway, and she would always kind of say, well, I don't really have any gifts. I don't have any gifts at all. But she had a real beautiful smile. And boy, she loved Jesus so much. And she was doing the checkout at Safeway one time. And this lady says, you know, what is it about you? You have such a peaceful countenance about you. What is it? You always seem to be happy. And she got to share her testimony about how she loved Jesus. And that's how she can be so happy. She goes, she came back to church and she goes, I guess I don't need to have one of these great gifts like this because I have Jesus living inside of me and people can see it. People will see, and you never know what they will see, you know. And the thing is that place, the responsibility we talked about earlier. There's a huge responsibility to walk in the kingdom of God. According to those statutes, you know, we have to say goodbye to some of those things of the world that the world system controls. We have to say goodbye to those things sometimes. You know, if only we would live and move like we are in the kingdom of God. Remember the song we used to sing, in him we live and move and have our being? Oh my goodness. Have our being. Oh. The world lives in darkness. And they will see the light if we live like we are in the light. Now, is that a responsibility that you have? Is it a responsibility that you choose to embrace, that you will accept and say, yes, I choose to follow Jesus. I don't care what it costs me. I will follow Jesus no matter what. That's the question that is before you today. You know, because this is the Father's will for each and every one of us. It's His joy to give us the kingdom of God. It's His joy to lead us into a new way to live. As we close today, I want you to consider these very inspiring words from Jesus in Luke chapter 12, verses 29 through 32. Luke 12, 29 through 32, this is Jesus saying this. Do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Don't worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things. And your Father knows that you need them, but seek His kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. It's His pleasure, it's His joy to give you the kingdom. There's nothing you could do to earn it. You know, what would it be like to live life free of worry? What would it be? Receiving from the Father's hand all that we need because He joyfully wants to give us His kingdom. What would that be like? Remember, it's all about doing God's will, God's way, among God's people. So what would it be like to be doing that? What would it be like to be walking in that obedience, that we're doing God's will, God's way, among God's people? Wherever you go, when you go out from here, when you go to work, when you go to school, when you hang out in the neighborhood, when you go garage sailing, when you go fishing, all of these things, what would it be like to walk in that way, to walk in the light? We can begin. If you've not been doing that, you can begin fresh and anew today, right now. And he's calling for you to do that. He's calling for you. And so that's the whole purpose of this message and these series of messages, is to understand and to begin walking according to the statutes of the kingdom of God, the privileges of the kingdom of God, the responsibilities of walking in the kingdom of God. There's nothing greater. There's nothing. I wouldn't take back my old life for anything. And boy, as a 16-year-old guy, I had all the money in the world I could ever want. I had so much money. You know, as a 16-year-old kid in 1970, I never had less than $100 cash in my wallet. That was a lot of money back then. I never had less than that in my wallet. Never. You know. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Because that road led to nowhere. And God's road leads to life, eternal life, glorious life, the best life. So where are you today? Where are you today? It was rhetorical. I'm not waiting for an answer. But would you stand with me, please? I'd like to give opportunity this morning. Shana, could you come to the keyboard and just play something, please? I'd like to give opportunity this morning. If you would like prayer for anything specifically, if you need a touch from the Lord physically, spiritually, emotionally, financially, whatever you need, and you'd like prayer, our staff is available to pray with you. And so if you would like prayer this morning, we would love to agree with you in prayer and stand together and believe that God will provide whatever it is you need. So if you have any needs this morning, why don't you, Shana is just playing something, just go ahead and get out from where you are and come on down. Maybe you came into the building today hurting. Maybe you have an issue physically in your body and you'd like the Lord to touch you. Why don't you come on down and let us pray for you. Maybe you came in and there's a financial burden over your head. Maybe you need a job and you should probably come on down here and let us pray that the Lord will provide you just the right job.